program you're about to hear involves slight confounds, disparity, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church episode, genius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and to cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Damn black helicopters! Hey, get out of here, damn it! I'm trying to use a freaking phone! Jesus! I have to live in a flyover zone. Open channel D, please. Reverend Susie the Floozy here. I'm experiencing some really weird phenomena here. It seems to be localized in my closet. I thought you and the Lymph Node Institute techs might want to come on over with some equipment and take some readings. You know, I was just spending the afternoon running an inventory in my closet. Well, you know how I'm clothing impaired, so I have to have everything all numbered and all. And, well, all of a sudden I noticed something was out of the ordinary. I mean, everything was fine. It was just hung perfectly. Yeah, ha ha ha. No, I mean, hanger after hanger. Everything was perfect, all the way up to number 17. But when I got to my chupacabra skin hot pants, remember that outfit? It was all covered with some sort of weird, gooey ectoplasm. No! You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you! Something is seriously wrong with Hangar 18! Hello? Hello? We've been cut off! I tell you, Seekers, it's like it's some sort of conspiracy or something.
We're not here to destroy.
Be known. The truth on like the Roswell incident, Hangar 18, and so on and so forth. The Bermuda Triangle stuff they have, and for the Philadelphia experiment, and on and on and on. It just goes on. And let the public know, if you're listening to your ham radio, or as they say, amateur radio, and you get some kind of strange signals on your radio, and you hear something that sounds a little something like this. Now, if the FBI doesn't get you, or the FCC, the KGB sure to. But anyway, that's what you do if you get this.
What the hell are you talking about?
A conspiracy bigger than the prophecies.
The Bible says there is coming a world government at the end of the age.
No one would be stupid enough to believe that.
It'll last for 3.5 years. It's going to be an absolute dictatorship. And it does not give the names, but we're watching world news. It's going to be through the United Nations organization. But how did this world government get its foundation? How did it begin? In 1776, a man by the name of Adam Weishaupt, that you see on the screen with me, founded the modern-day version of the Illuminati. Adam Weishaupt was a member of the Jesuit Order of the Catholic Church, and the Pope suspended that order because of atrocities and dealing in demonic activities and witchcraft and Satanism. This man believed in Lucifer as God and worshipped him. So Adam Weishaupt actually founded the modern-day Illuminati. Illuminati means illuminated ones. They were illuminated by Satan the devil. They prefer to call him Lucifer. And so the modern-day version of the Illuminati was founded May 1st, 1776. Approximately the same time when the United States of America was being formed.
He put the accent on American, as opposed to the world socialist revolution now smothering the American people. The world communazi revolution, which, he reminded me, was launched in Germany May 1st, 1776, the same year the American Revolution was launched. For we shall be governed by God, or we shall soon be ruled by tyrants. Adam Weishaupt, who launched the socialist world revolution in Germany May 1st, 1776, laid down as one of the six cardinal doctrines of his Illuminist, now called communist, revolution as being, quote, the abolishment of all religion, unquote. When in the same year, 1776, we laid the foundation of the American Revolution, we proclaimed, quote, in God we trust, as though God himself raised up his people to confront the devil in the form of Adam Weishaupt and the world revolution.
As time went on, the Illuminati began to penetrate every government on the European continent. They began to send individuals over to the United States. There were 13 lodges of Freemasonry where those at the very top, the 33rd degree, which is the honorary degree, were a part of the Illuminati. They had one lodge in each of the 13 original colonies. A very obscure man who had six children and most of them starved to death, by the name of Karl Marx, was actually contracted by the Illuminati to update their program for world government. He put it in the form of the Communist Manifesto. It laid down their goals and their programs. A few of those goals was to have public education for all students so that they would be able to propagandize and to socialize the mind of those individuals who attended those public schools.
Speech is short, but it's the most rousing speech I've ever read. It's been worked on here and in Russia on and off for over 8 years. I shall force someone to take the body away from him. Then Johnny will really hit those microphones and those cameras with blood all over him, fighting off anyone who tries to help him, defending America even if it means his own death, rallying a nation of television viewers into hysteria to sweep us up into the White House with powers that will make martial law seem like anarchy.
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do. We do.
Who leads Atlantis off the maps?
Who keeps the Martians under wraps?
We do, we do. Who holds back the electric car? Who makes you Gutenberg a czar? We do, we do.
Who robs apish of their sight?
Who rigged every Oscar night?
We do.
So it is, international communism, socialism, under the control of the Illuminati, worshippers of Satan the devil.
Soulless, spiritless, corporate little bitches, suckers of Satan's suck it. It's only your dignity, suck it.
I have a document which shows that a world currency is already being set up. A world bank is already being set up by the Trilateral Commission, headed by David Rockefeller, of which, by the way, President Carter is a member, Trilateral Commission. And there will soon be a universal currency by which there can be a global economic control.
My goodness, Ivan, I'm stunned.
And with my brothers, the stonecutters behind me, this is the beginning of a better world for all of us.
We gotta kill him.
Take it easy.
Let's hear from the Stonecutter World Council before we act too rashly.
I knew we were in trouble with that damn egg commercial, that guy. I knew that was the government's take on drugs, believe me.
Here's your brain.
I've never, ever, 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 ever looked at an egg and thought it was brain. Not once.
So one of those egg council creeps got to you too, huh?
Oh, you got it all wrong. It's not like that.
Kill him.
Kill him.
Kill the fool.
Right, I have to disagree with Orville, Jack, and Mister. Can't we just do something to his voice box?
We might as well face the truth. As long as we're stonecutters, he will control our lives.
Now with computers, we have the first time in history that what John predicted 1,900 years ago would take place. Because now there are computers, in fact there's one in Brussels right now that could do the job very easily, where every person on Earth will receive a number and they can be kept account of.
Computers don't make errors. What they do on purpose. By now, your name and particulars have been fed into every laptop, desktop, mainframe, and supermarket scanner that collectively make up the global information conspiracy, otherwise known as the Beast.
The mark of the Beast.
People now who have implants in them, the traces, their movements, it helps their health means, but it's also an invasion of privacy. Soon there's computers that are apparently being developed that can read your brain waves, that can read your thoughts. I mean, this is not, these aren't toys or beyond the realm. People have to grapple with whether they want that Big Brother screen, which will be there.
Click.
You can turn it off. Yes, Winston. We have that privilege. Well, shall I say it or will you?
I'll say it.
That thing is really turned off?
Yes. Everything is turned off. We're alone.
All right. We have come here because we believe that there is some kind of secret conspiracy, some kind of secret organization working against the party and that you are involved in it. We want to join it and work for it.
That can be arranged.
Oh! Ow! Ah! This club better be worth it.
All right. It's Lisa's turn.
Oh, that.
We are enemies of the party. We disbelieve in the principles of Ingsoc. We are thought criminals. We are also adulterers. I tell you this because we want to put ourselves at your mercy. Yes. First, let us all take a drink.
Woohoo!
Now let's all get drunk and play ping pong.
Yeah! It is Big Brother at its worst.
No, no forms, no computers. We were never here. Don't feed the beast.
It's just phenomenal, the amount of information that's out there in the secular media that would lend us to believe that chimp implants are going to be used to identify us.
What are you talking about, man?
Chimp implants, chimp implants, chimp, chimp, chimp.
No, don't feed the beast.
Because, you see, there's a conspiracy, and a lot of our own officials in America are a part of that conspiracy, and we're no longer the free land that we ought to be. Now, here are some of the executive orders, and I believe you need to know what some of them are. This is not all of them, but there they are. Some of the things that they can do. Take a moment to read that, please. They can seize all communications media, seize all electric power, fuels, minerals, both public and private. What do you think caused them to shut the power down in 15 of our states out in the Northwest recently? They'd been doing it over two or three states, and now they tried it on a regional scale. This wasn't an accident. I talked to an electrical engineer that's involved in that, and he said we made sure after the brownout in New York many years ago that such a thing could not happen again. We had interlocking grids, so the power would be there from one source to the other, and suddenly these things all go down at once. That was not a happenstance or an accident. That was a trial run. I like to call it what it really is, a dress rehearsal. And if you've ever been in a play, when do you have the dress rehearsal? Right before the real thing. So when I say that a takeover is imminent, I am giving you the reasons why I have said that.
Mr. Reagan doesn't believe in economic sanctions against the government of South Africa. Secretary of State George Shultz, representing the Council on Foreign Relations and their international global plans for one world government, very often he makes decisions related to the CFR, not to the Secretary of State, that would really be to the benefit of the United States. Frankly, he makes me sick. But that's a personal opinion. Meanwhile, you have produced some what I call subversive organizations that aren't necessarily Union Jack, Old Glory, Apple Pie, and July the 4th. And the CFR, in my estimation, works far more for world government than it does for the government of the United States. And that brings me to the other one that you saw on the screen, TLC. That is not Tender Loving Care. That's the Trilateral Commission, which, by the way, is part of the Fed, in a sense, because they're all tied into the Federal Reserve System, the Council on Foreign Relations.
I happen to believe that this nation needs to be able to conduct deniable covert operations. I believe that this president, like all presidents, needs to have an ability to dissociate himself from those activities, and that the U.S. role should remain hidden or deniable and not be revealed.
God bless America.
No, aliens, bioduplication, nude conspiracies. Oh, my God, Lyndon LaRouche was right.
My fellow Americans, you have a choice to make on Tuesday. You'll choose whether to continue forward on the path which we've forged or to move in a different direction. America is at peace and we're prosperous once more. The dreams of the next decade lie in your hands. On Tuesday, I hope you'll vote Republican, up and down the ticket. To continue the change we began.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade group. There has been a shooting. I repeat, a shooting in the motorcade in the downtown area.
We needed the theory of some guy on the grassy knoll who's responsible for all this. And lo and behold, it's Falwell on the grassy knoll. Someone still needs to explain.
But I don't even want to hear the words grassy knoll.
The Illuminati, worshippers of Satan the devil, is now infiltrated into the United States of America. The very highest office of the land is now occupied by one of their agents. And it goes right on down through the Congress, the Senate.
Realize who you're talking to. I am the Commander-in-Chief of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. I call on all loyal Americans to picket the White House, right to your congressmen. Don't let them pour it into your water. I am deposed. Oh, for God's sake, let us sit upon the ground. Tell sad stories to the desert king. Once more into the breach, dear friend. Once more into the breach.
It was after the Washington, D.C. plant, when UFOs flew in triangular formation over the White House. You see, the brain of Charles Darwin is preserved in the British Medical Museum in London. I cut open the skull and looked at the brain. Now, their heads are a little bit large, but after all, you see megacephalic little people yourself. Many little people have heads that are a little too big.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he helped the oil man who made the talk. He is the one who told the oil man all about it.
These groovy cats could care less about what happens in Washington. It's really not their bag.
Like, getting into the aliens, you know, going back and remembering when I first became an alien.
Now the big one. Why? Why is all of this being done? What have they built you to do?
I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows except that it's over in Moscow. And my American operator here. Or whatever it is, it's supposed to happen soon. Right at the convention. Maybe. I don't know.
There's apparently a conspiracy to stop our work and cause us to lose the franchise.
Oh, I see. This is some sort of conspiracy.
No,
some trumped-up occupational therapy, like leathercraft or basket weaving.
I swear to you it'll be a bestseller.
The great story here, for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it, is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
And by saying conspiracy, they're saying lunatic, they're saying mad, they're saying out of the mainstream and therefore not to be taken account of.
You know, if you find a turtle on a fence post, it didn't get there by accident. And I just look at the landscape around here and I see just lots of big old turtles sitting on lots of fence posts.
possibly the best book ever written on the subject of turtle stacking.
She's got that right.
The length and extent of this conspiracy is absolutely fantastic.
Actually, that's where I'm going right now. There's a vast conspiracy meeting downtown.
The proof of this, the sophistication of this conspiracy, is the utter absence of evidence for the conspiracy. That's how clever the conspiracy is at covering itself up. This is about as conspiratorial as a steam calliope.
He didn't believe there was a conspiracy. He didn't believe there was a plot.
Let's talk common sense now.
Right, yeah, common sense.
Please
call it conspiracy.
Would you give me a chance to talk?
It was a first-class mess in my estimation. Aren't you glad I never get political?
So anyway, Lenny and Carl are never around on Wednesdays, and they don't tell me where they go. It's like a conspiracy.
A conspiracy, eh? You think they might be involved in the Kennedy assassination in some way?
I do.
Oh.
Forces within the United States using perhaps Cubans in this conspiracy. And I still believe that it is a conspiracy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, super patriots, fellow crackpots, members of the Constitutional Underground, Republicans and fellow Democrats. I'm mighty glad to be here again.
Because he had a lot of troubles with the brothers Kennedy. He was very much upset.
Very much upset about what Kennedy had been doing to Hoffa, and he felt sympathetic towards Hoffa, described him as a man of,
very much.
Of the workers. And
very much.
Bobby Kennedy, our Attorney General, the most outrageous appointment since Caligula named his horse a consul. Incomparable in other ways. Ordered the FBI to rouse newspaper men out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning to answer questions about statements attributed to a Steele official. For some strange reason, this reminds me of the Anfuso bill. It is now in the hopper in Congress to make you register your firearms. That's the first step. Once the establishment knows where all firearms are, except those owned by gangsters, the next steps of the collectivist is to send gun collectors around to each home to pick them up. It's sort of nice to have an equalizer around for 4 o'clock knocks on the door regardless of who's knocking.
And my informant heard him say very distinctly that in order to do away with Bobby, you had to get rid of the President of the United States, and that you had to find a nut who would be capable of assassinating the President.
Khrushchev doesn't have to bury us. Our leaders are burying us.
Stupid as I am sometimes, I started needling about the Kennedys. Gee, wasn't it too bad that Bobby Kennedy had you picked up and deported to Guatemala just to see what he'd say, you know. And then he said, don't worry, we're taking care of that. And I said, what do you mean take care of that? He says, you know, you kill the head, the tail drops off. You're going to kill Bobby Kennedy for what he is? He said, no, you kill the president, Bobby gets taken care of.
Once upon a time, a hunter and his dog were lost in a deep forest. Out of food, the starving hunter sat by his fire one night, and finally he could stand it no longer. He whipped out his knife and whacked off his dog's tail and put it on the fire to boil. When he was through, only the clean bones were left, and he tossed them to the whimpering dog, who devoured the remains and then licked his master's hand in gratitude. That's the story of federal aid.
Plato said the penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. I think we are being ruled by evil men. What can one person do?
Hello? Hey, Nitwit, what are you trying to do?
There's a motorcade in the downtown area. The president's car is now going past me, now traveling at a very high rate of speed. Secret service men standing up in the limousine. They are armed with submachine guns. I am convinced beyond any question of a doubt that the first shot that was fired did not hit me. Ms. Connolly has a very definite feeling, a very strong conviction, that the first shot that was fired hit the president. The second shot that was fired hit me. The third shot that was fired is at the front. It's unquestionably, when the first shot was fired, I recognized it as a shot. I thought of nothing else but that it was a rifle shot. I turned to my right. I had time to think. I had time to react. And I turned to my right to look back over my right shoulder to see if I could see anything unusual, and particularly to see if I could catch him out of the corner of my eye. Because I immediately thought...
Him, you mean the...
The president.
The president.
Because I immediately thought of an assassination the moment I heard the shot.
Mrs. Connolly, who was seated alongside her husband, also took issue with the one bullet, two victim theory. She testified, "It was just a frightening noise, and it came from the right. I turned over my right shoulder and looked back and saw the president as he had both hands at his neck. And it seemed to me there was, he made no utterance, no cry. I saw no blood, no anything. It was just sort of nothing, the expression on his face, and he just sort of slumped down. Then very soon, there was the second shot that hit John. As the first shot was hit and I turned to look at the same time, I recalled John saying, 'Oh no, no, no.' Then there was a second shot, and it hit John. And as he recoiled to the right, just crumpled like a wounded animal to the right, he said, 'My God, they're going to kill us all.'"
I was an eyewitness to that, and that's when the second shot was fired and knocked him down in the floorboard. And it would have been impossible for him to turn had the bullet hit, the same bullet hit him that went through the president's neck.
They all ended up shot in the back of the neck. And that's what they deserve. Shot in the back of the neck. Shot in the back of the neck. Shot in the back of the neck.
And did you see the effect of the next bullet which struck President Kennedy?
I saw the effects of the next bullet which struck the president. Because it flipped him over almost on his stomach. And the side of his head, and his head was laying on the edge of the seat. He was laying more on his stomach, and his foot was hanging out of the, over the car, edge of the car, upside down.
And I took the picture. It so happened my picture, when I took it, was at the same instant that the president was hit. And that does show in my picture.
Did you realize what had happened when you heard the shot?
No, I didn't. There was, oh, three or four real close together. And it was, must have been the first one that shot him, because that's when that was the time I took the picture. And during that time, after I took the picture and the shots were still being fired, I decided I'd better get on the ground.
Did Mrs. Kennedy scream on the first shot?
I don't know about the first shot, but she did scream. She says, "My God, he's been hit, or he's been shot."
Now, the picture you took, I understand the FBI has it now.
Yes, that's right.
This is Kennedy in pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. At this point, it looks as though it could have been one or two or even all of the people within the car may have been the victims, may have been struck by shots. We don't know.
I've heard some incredible theories about the Kennedy assassination since that movie came out. Weirdest one I ever heard, but the most intriguing. I heard the guy who shot Kennedy was the Secret Service man in the front seat of the limo. Sounds ludicrous, but think about it. Every time you've ever seen the Zapruder film, have you ever looked at the Secret Service man in the front seat of that limo? No. It's like the ultimate magic trick of misdirection. Because like most people, when I see the Zapruder film, I'm looking, you know, at Jackie's ass when she gets on the trunk of that car. Thank you very much.
Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. And just now we've received reports here at Parkland that Governor Connolly was shot in the upper left chest, and the first unconfirmed reports say the president was hit in the head. That's an unconfirmed report that the president was hit in the head.
It was definitely the president.
That's the moment. We have a bulletin coming in. We're now switching directly to Parkland Hospital.
The president of the United States is dead. President Kennedy has been assassinated. It's official now. The president is dead.
Is this where you were sitting on November 22nd, Mr. Price?
Yes, sir.
Right here?
Right here on this spot.
And where did you think you heard the shots come from?
From behind the overpass over there, or triple overpass.
Did you give that information to the Dallas Sheriff's Department on the very day of the assassination?
Yes, I did. Now, I'd say in about 30 minutes after the assassination.
Were you ever called as a witness by the Warren Commission?
No, sir. No, sir.
Let me just ask you this one last question, Mr. Price. Do you think that it's rather curious that you were a witness to the assassination from a roof of a building overlooking Dealey Plaza, that you gave your statement to the Dallas Sheriff's Department the very day of the assassination, and yet the commission, which was investigating the circumstances of the crime, never bothered to call you as a witness to testify before them?
I can't answer that, sir. Of course, I think I've seen about as much of the assassination as anyone around this area. But as to why I wasn't called as a witness, that's beyond me. But it doesn't make me any difference.
November 22nd, Mr. Dodd, what did you see and what did you hear?
Well, I seen the president roll over and slump over in his seat, and then I saw Governor Connally slump over.
And did you see anything which might indicate to you where the shots came from?
Well, we all three seen, four seen about the same thing as the shot. The smoke came from behind the hedge on the north side of the plaza, and a motorcycle policeman dropped his motorcycle in the street with his gun in his hand and run up the embankment to the hedge.
I ran across the Elm Street to run up there toward that knoll. It was, and we were stopped by a man in a suit, and he had a overcoat on his over his arm, and I saw a gun under that overcoat, and his comment was, "Don't y'all come up here any further, you could get shot or killed." One of those words.
I think it's rather curious that you have such a fine view of the whole Dealey Plaza area, and you were among those who saw smoke coming from evidently behind the fence, and yet you were not called by the commission as a witness.
Well, I always found it peculiar, but I thought that's the way they did business.
Well, I and really most of the early subgenius apostles were in Dealey Plaza at the time. We were probably about 9, 10, 11 years old, most of us. But we had our little dart guns and our little ray gun toys that make sparks, and our squirt guns. And we were stationed at the grassy knoll and the in the drain, a storm sewer drain, ready to do our patriotic duty.
They did not like the idea when I came up with the statement that Oswald, as far as I knew, Oswald was a very poor shot.
Who didn't like the idea?
The FBI people that investigated, that were interviewing me.
I will say that I still believe that my son, Lee Harvey Oswald, is innocent. And I intend to continue in the investigation with his attorney, Mr. Mark Lane. I have tried to get Mr. Mark Lane to represent my son as an attorney before the Warren Commission.
I really don't know what the situation is about. Nobody has told me anything. I'm accused of murdering a policeman. I know nothing more than that, and I do request for someone to come forward to give me a legal assistance.
Did you tell the president that?
No, I've not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
You must believe I did not know it would be you. I served them. I fought for them. I'm on the point of winning for them the greatest foothold they will ever have in this country. And they paid me back by taking your soul away from you. I told them to build me an assassin. I wanted a killer from a world filled with killers, and they chose you. Because they thought it would bind me closer to them. But now we have come almost to the end. One last step. And then when I take power, hour, they will be pulled down and ground into death for what they did to you. And what they did in so contemptuously underestimating me.
Mr. Daniels, have you been associated with the Dallas Police Force?
I was for 7 years.
In what capacity?
As a patrolman.
Where were you on November 24th, 1963?
Well, I was going down to inspect the assassination site around 11 o'clock, I guess, and I noticed Officer Barnes standing in the, on the Main Street ramp of the City Hall at the basement, and I stopped to go back to talk to him, and I asked him what his purpose was there, and he told me he was keeping anybody from entering the basement because they fixed to transfer Oswald.
Did anyone enter the basement through the Main Street ramp?
There's one man, weighed about 175, and had on a blue suit, about 5'9".
What was your impression when you saw him enter the basement with his hands in his pocket?
My first impression was that he had a gun in his pocket, and then I didn't think too much about it because Officer Vaughn didn't challenge him, he just let him go on down in there.
Anything to say in your defense? Oswald has been shot.
The suspect's name is Jack Rubenstein, I believe. He goes by the name of Jack Ruby.
Rosetta Stone of the conspiracy, the key to the mystery, is Jack Ruby.
Complete conspiracy, Watson. If you knew the true facts, you'd be amazed at it. In what way? It'll be proven in a few days later what the charges will be filed against me, plus the fact of the assassination. Complete conspiracy against me, Watson.
The commission always wanted to interrogate Jack Ruby. The Chief Justice and I, with three or four of our staff, flew to Dallas and interrogated Jack Ruby personally for about 5 or 6 hours while he was in the custody of the local authorities in Dallas.
Were you employed by Jack Ruby?
Yes, I was. This was in 1961 in Dallas at his club, the Carousel. And I was bartender, waitress, and rather the manager there.
How did you get that job?
I had gone into Dallas not knowing anyone, and of course, the first place I went was the police department. And they were very kind and got me the job there.
They got you the job at Jack Ruby's?
Yes, they did.
Did they know Ruby?
Personally, oh yes, very well. About fun, wonderful person, great man. Well known by the Dallas Police Department.
What were your duties there?
Well, general bar duties, such as setting up the liquor, getting the bar ready for the evening trade, waiting tables if he was short-handed. Otherwise, I'd be behind the bar serving the drinks.
Did you ever serve drinks to Dallas police officers?
Oh, yes. In fact, the Dallas police officers were the special boys, shall we say. You even had a private stock for them.
Private stock?
Oh, yes. They wouldn't care. Bar liquor wasn't for them. We had names such as Hagen Haig or Black Label. The very, very high-priced drinks on the house, of course, we never can. That was a gross oversight if you ever charged a Dallas police officer or any official of the city of Dallas or Tarrant County. He said, don't offend them, cater to them, talk with them, even if you ignore the other customers. Bend over backwards to be nice to them.
Did Ruby perform any other favors for the Dallas police officers?
Well, favors, perhaps you call them favors, I suppose so. He provided girls, gambling, and booze.
How many Dallas police officers would you estimate Jack Ruby knew on a personal basis?
At least half, and probably two-thirds.
There were almost 1,200 police officers in Dallas in 1963. Would you say Ruby knew 600 of them?
Oh, easily.
We have 1,200 men in our department, and we had each man to submit a report regarding his knowledge or acquaintance with Jack Ruby. Less than 50 men even knew Jack Ruby, and less than a dozen had ever been in his place of business.
You can't be serious.
Most of these that had been in his place of business had been in there because they were sent there on investigations or had answered a call for police service.
You don't believe a word of this, do you? Sure, it's fantastic, but it happened. Don't just sit there measuring me for a straitjacket. Do something! Get on the phone! Call for help!
Get on your radio and sound at all points along. Block all highways, stop all traffic, and call every law enforcement agency in the state. operative. Get me the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Yes, it's an emergency.
Over the last 7 years, Lamar Walton has built up a formidable database on this secret agenda and its relationship to Kennedy's murder.
There were very low-level operatives and informants working for the CIA whose primary allegiance was to the Mafia. And these people had been working with the Mafia for much longer than they had been working with the CIA. And the Mafia paid them many, many times what the CIA did. Those people not only told the Mafia bosses like Trafficante Marcello about Project Freedom, but they worked with the Mafia in ways to use those plans to kill President Kennedy and use the secrecy surrounding Project Freedom to cover up the Mafia's role in it.
Warren Report found no significant links between Jack Ruby and the Cuban issue, or with organized crime.
It was incredible. He really believed this stuff.
In the fall of 1963, Ruby made an unusual number of long-distance calls to associates of Johnny Rosselli in Las Vegas, Sam Giancana in Chicago, and Carlos Marcello in New Orleans.
And Oswald was also very close in 1963 with a man named David Ferry, who was working on a daily basis for Carlos Marcello in the fall of 1963.
The committee believes that President Kennedy was probably assassinated as the result of a conspiracy.
Holy mackerel, what a lie.
Shut up. I guess the easiest thing would be to blame it all on some sort of vast right-wing conspiracy. But that would be lame. No one would be stupid enough to believe that.
I would love to see a computer faced with the problem of coming up with the probabilities of the assassination taking place the way it did, with all of these strange incidents that took place before and are continuing to take place after the assassination. I think all of us who love this country should be alerted that something is wrong in the land.
Kind of like going up to Jackie Onassis with a rifle pendant on, you know? Thinking of John, Jackie. We love him. Do me a favor. Don't love me that much. Okay. Get a hobby.
His death is an incomplete story. The conspiracy report was an explanation, not a case. It was issued in 1979, and by then the trail was cold as Kennedy's grave. No evidence was ever presented in court, no suspect ever indicted. The story of the conspiracy to assassinate President Kennedy serves nothing but history. History, like humanity, needs to have its nightmares explained.
Oh, why do I have to wear high heels this thing? Oh, my feet are killing me. Oh, I swear I can still smell the blood. Oh, it must be in my nose hairs or something. Don't f*** with Mommy, John. John, keep saluting her. I'll nail your other hand, your forehead. Oh, Christ, I need a drink. Oh, hello. I'm your hostess, Ilona. Ilona Assassin. And I'm here to explain to you the single bimbo theory. Oh man, look at these nails, huh? I gotta take a gemstone file to them. Ah, yes, as I was saying, the myriad pleasures of the godfather of all contemporary conspiracy theories, the JFK hit. Oh, you've all heard the coincidence or conspiracy bit. That old saw about Lincoln and Kennedy, how Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy, Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln, and how Lincoln was once in Monroe, Maryland, and Kennedy was in Marilyn Monroe a lot. You know, that sort of stuff. Oh, but the JFK assassination mystique gets weirder the longer you soak in it. The unassailable truths of the situation are so damn weird that the most delooniac crackpots are only following the trend set by the serious researchers. The theory that JFK is still alive and hiding out with Elvis What? That pales next to the documented stuff. Bizarre facts that even Oliver Stone missed. Like the creepy, hairless, chicken hawk David fairies, secret monkey virus labs. Or that guy on Air Force One winking at LBJ after the swearing in. Or how one of my favorites, the fact that the Warren Commission stooge Gerald R. Ford just somehow happened to become our first unelected president 10 years later. And yeah, now that I think of it, why the hell does assassination have two asses in it? Oh, and those are the real facts, too, if you can believe that. Oh, there are lots of juicy, tasty, conspiratorial nuggets to snack on here, but, oh, let's not make a rush to fudge mint seekers. After all, these goobers have already found 13 of the 3 gunmen. Oh, just a second here. Hey, Krasner! Paul, out of the coffin there, f***o! Yeah, you! That's an exit wound, not an entrance! Ah, as I was saying, I'm personally steeped in the JFK world myself, and I've been stuck in it like a fly in amber for years. I've even had the dubious honor of seeing Lee Harvey Oswald's bedroom furniture at the Tragedy and U.S. History Museum in St. Augustine. Oh, and I can always be persuaded to attend the JFK Assassination Symposia when they're held in Dallas, that is. Oh, these JFK nut affairs are like sci-fi conventions, but with scarier geeks. Oh, and the excitement breaks out all over, because every clutch of theorists hates every other clutch of theorists, and pointless, hair-splitting intellectuals, catfights, and embarrassingly pissy spats erupt in the lobby and ballroom as lunatics collide. Oh, at that point, I gave up. I gave in to the madness. Because when you stop disbelieving, isn't the path of the single bullet like a lyrical aerial ballet? Did the MK Ultra clone who played the part of Lee Harvey Oswald overact alone? Is Carrie Thornley possibly the other Bob, too? I wouldn't discount it. But luckily, I have the rarefied ability to pass among the multi-layered strata of JFK buffs by treating them all like a bunch of bums in a strip club. And somehow they just can't get enough of my funky stuff. Or at least they couldn't get enough of the old fleas. Yeah, I'm going to do something here we'll all regret. I'm going to play a tape for my personal stock from 1993, when a weekly version of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is just a glimmer in my lap. Oh, the Dallas JFK Symposium, where Stang and I worked the geeks. The sad thing is hearing the sparkling, slackful happiness in my voice. You can tell just how this radio ministry has sucked the very life from the old flues unit here. Oh. Yeah, like you slack-slurping remoras out there didn't have something to do with it, too. Oh, but you will see. Because if the exes don't get their asses here too sweet, it's gonna happen to you, too. Rollin', Bob.
I'm going to be doing the show weekly. I'm thinking of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah.
That'll sell.
Yeah, boy, coming up with a name.
They sell audio cards. I've heard all those a million times.
They're fascinating, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I hear something new every time I hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how accurate they were, too.
Well, the way I usually hear them, Max,
actually is they now people mix them with rock music and stuff. I've got probably 10 or 12 tapes at home. On the JFK shows, you'll hear them. It's like, you know, cut-ups of the Walter Cronkite and stuff like that.
I wasn't familiar with that whole thing.
Tell it to the Marinas.
Poor Marina.
Oh, as soon as I get my concession set up out here, I'll be selling JFKY jelly and watch the money roll in. JFK took my baby away. Let's see what's shaking over here. Legal and medical evidence. I like the medical stuff. I like the lifting book, just so I could peek in on those gore photos. Those close-ups, though, where he saw the little metal device.
That's the pipe terminal.
Captain in the U.S. Army or in the U.S. intelligence, you know, what do you do a stupid thing like this for? And Nagel said, Your Honor, I have determined that they are going to assassinate the president in Texas in November. And he says, I am deeply suspicious that I'm being set up to be the fall guy. And the judge says, you're crazy. And Nagel said, no, I'm not. He said, I fired those shots into the bank wall to get arrested so I'd have an alibi. And the judge says, well, you'll have an alibi, all right. You'll go to the psychiatric ward at Leavenworth for 90 days while we assess you. During those 90 days, they killed the president.
Right.
Yeah. He comes back before the judge, who's a friend of LBJ, and he, indirectly, through an associate, and the judge sentenced him to 10 years in Leavenworth. You know, so off he goes. Out of sight, out of mind, you know. So they've got poor Dingus sitting in a mental hospital, heavily sedated, and they're telling him if he doesn't sign his statement that he was interpreting it from newspaper quarters, they do a frontal lobotomy on him.
If he doesn't prove his sanity by acting insane.
Yeah, they're going to take his brain away.
Yeah.
So you've got Nagel, you've got guys like Dingus. And in this book that came out of France, at first, when Hoover saw it, as they say, he persuaded the Justice Department that it was a KGB publication. nobody else could do a work like this, they figured. And then that gentleman right there, Bill Turner,
oh, yeah.
Former FBI guy, he was given the task of finding out where the book came from, and he traced it back to Luxembourg and Liechtenstein to the presidential palace.
Wow.
Bill Turner, I don't have to be on my best behavior for.
Yeah, FBI.
I'm speechless.
Okay, I'm on. I started the thing up and he's speechless.
Well, it seemed like Mailer seemed to be making some people angry by saying, oh, Oswald was too crazy to have ever worked for any of these agencies.
That's BS.
First, that's a prerequisite.
That's pointed out, the first place for the agency to recruit anybody in that capacity, and I'm not, you got to make the distinction between a payroll agent that goes through the farm, in Virginia,
right,
and is on the payroll and intends to retire someday, as opposed to a contract agent and even a lower level agent. And I also pointed out that the agents, when they're brought into an operation, don't always know that their handler is CIA. The handler may be giving a cover story and you know, black and white and the reverse is true.
Right.
So, you know, it's a wilderness of mirrors, and for Mailer or anyone else to say that Oswald was too unstable.
But he was saying that was just something he suspected. Oswald was his favorite protagonist.
I was bringing out Oswald's possession. I got this little Minax camera that was around.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's not for Sunday school picnics, you know?
Right.
And
maybe he was just a pervert. I mean, a pervert. I could find all sorts of great things to do with a tiny little
camera. Well, we interview Susie.
I think you're overlooking a possibility. Well,
it seems like there's what's really stirred things up around here this year is the Posner.
Well, sure, because the Posner book, it's an unbook. Posner, who has no credentials, a Wall Street lawyer, he's written a couple of obscure books, he has meager credentials, he's coming out making like he's an expert in interpreting facts that we've all dealt with for years.
Right.
What you know, how does this book get a $500,000
and get all that press just like that?
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't he look like a smarmy movie
maker? Oh, yeah. Smug.
Yeah.
Know-it-all.
Yeah,
we had those at school, didn't we? You know, we got rid of them. We got rid of them.
I'd like to see you get 2 falls out of 3 with that little twerp. Yeah. You can take him, Bill. I'll hold your coat.
Well, you know, it's funny. The Dallas Morning News reports on this thing as if it was like a science fiction. I remember the first year. I covered it for the Austin Chronicle the first year.
Did you?
And, you know, I take this stuff real seriously.
Yeah.
Of course, there is a funny sort of sick side to it also, which I also have to deal with. But
the
Morning News only focuses on, you know, well, you wouldn't believe the guy with the all-leather portrait of Kennedy, you know, that kind of stuff. They forget the experts and everything.
Sure, they're trying to demean it.
Yeah, they do. They demean it terribly.
Yeah.
I was really shocked, you know, considering the level of the guests that they had here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of unforgivable. But the Morning News, you know, they've got...
Well, that's always the approach they take, is just look at the weirdos.
Dealey Plaza was still echoing when they took their position.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot. I don't want to take up a bunch of your time, but I really appreciate talking.
You have added to the rich tapestry.
Oh, beautiful, Susie. How poetic.
Well, I thought I'd better talk to somebody who knew what they were doing.
De-beaked.
Yeah,
D-beat. D-beat
chicks.
D-beat chicks.
Yeah, I don't know any of those.
I'm a D-beacon chick. I re-beak.
Yeah. Oh, man. I probably ought to think about taking off and getting work on these things.
Yeah.
Put together an hour of slack tomorrow and finish this damn article.
Oh, there's Gary Shaw. Do you want any more input?
Huh?
There's Gary Shaw over there sitting down.
I guess so, yeah. I'd love to meet him.
Bring me a Chianti.
Do you know
here's a whole hive here.
Do you know this pretty girl? Never saw
in the biblical
hive?
Sense? Look, it's a girl with 3 boobs.
Now, it would work well with him.
These are our dinner guests from
the
last night.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, we're from Campese's again.
Yeah, these are some of my mobster friends.
Where did you pick this guy up? In the street?
Yeah, this is my reverend. This is
the
Reverend Ivan Stang.
Pardon?
Your father confessor?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, you should hear some
yes.
stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I just...
It's the puns that are so bad.
Yeah.
He's doing an article, and you have a chance
Turner,
to put your views for it.
Yeah, I'm a New Republic.
You can whitewash it any which way you want.
I'll do it.
New Republic called me up and wanted me to cover this thing for them, not in real extreme depth or anything. It's like one of their little postcards, they call them. It's like... probably be 5
but to keep it from being an examination of the weirdos. I
yeah, I'm fascinated with the weirdos and kooks, so I need to at least get
serious stuff. Oh, no, he's a weirdo and a kook himself.
Yeah,
we get too much of that.
I know.
Yeah.
I covered this for the first year for the Austin Chronicle. I was horrified at what the Dallas Morning News does with this thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes me sick.
Oh, Stang? Yeah, he's trying to get this done so he can head back to his books. Whoa! Are you happy to see me?
Ooh, whoa! I had better stop that tape right there before too much of that particular conspiracy is laid bare. Yeah, too much of that JFK stuff sure does get ugly if you get exposed to it too much. Oh, yes, but what a huge, sprawling conspiracy it is. But you know, when you get down to brass tacks, they can't hold a candle to our hated conspiracy. Oh, and there's plenty of con to go around, too, Seekers. The real conspiracy. Not the piddling little penny-ante whiny conspiracies like the Freemasons and the Illuminati. Oh, no. I'm not talking about pikers like the Trilateral Commission and the Elders of Zion. Oh, no, baby. These guys are like street corner three-card Monty hustlers next to the real conspiracy. I'm talking about a conspiracy that has stretched back through the mildewed mist of time to Atlantis and beyond. A conspiracy whose roots extend to the center of space and time. A conspiracy that is working night and day to steal your slack away. That's right, Seekers. The conspiracy. Need I say more? So, if you want to continue to poop and pee dog in your own diaper for the love of Bob, you can always write for free information on what this lunacy is all about. Got a pencil? Just write to Bob and confess all, Seekers. You'll find him waiting for you at P.O. Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118.
And, oh dear, now that I told you that, I'm afraid one of us has to die. Hey, Flues, I need you to pop something.
Ah, jeez.
Well, plenty more where that came from.